Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with My Opel, rewarding loyalty and taking care of members.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Warm tributes have been paid to Pat Hume, the widow of the late SDLP leader John Hume, who passed away yesterday at her home in Derry following a short illness. It's widely agreed that John Hume would not have been able to do what he did without her. In a moment, I'll be speaking to long-term friend and founding member of the SDLP, Breed Rogers. In 2015, Pat Hume spoke to Miriam O'Callaghan on her Sunday morning radio show about John's ongoing struggle with dementia and their life together. As part of that interview, she talked about the first time she met John in the spring of 1958.
We used to go to Borderlands, which was our local dance hall, about 3 miles away in Muff. And in those days, if you danced with somebody and it was followed by a lady's choice, it was only courteous to return the lady's choice. And then if he was a gentleman at all, he had to return the dance to you. So you ended up having 3 dances with the same person. So I had 3 dances with J.H. So then he said, may I see you home? And the poor fella didn't know that I lived at the end of the waterside. So you got the bus to Derry from Muff. And so he walked to the far end of the waterside. And then he had to walk to the far end of the Derry side, about 4 miles. So he must have been keen, you know, because he was back again.
Lovely memories there. Pat Hume speaking to Miriam in 2015. As I said, Breed Rogers is with us now. And Breed, the first thing I want to say to you is I'm deeply sorry. I know you've suffered a great loss today.
I have indeed. And I was listening to Pat there and I was thinking that was the most important walk that John ever took in his life. And the most important decision of all the decisions he ever made was the decision to marry the young Pat Hone, because she was the wind beneath his sails, as they say. She was with him through all the difficult years. She looked after the family. She was a teacher. She was the only breadwinner in the early years when John was up to his neck with civil rights. And she had to, I remember her coming to Bedore with John and the family in the 70s for a break. And she rarely did get a break, because invariably the place was inundated with press, with politicians, with people wanting to talk to John. And on top of that, there was always a crisis. And John had to head back to Derry and Pat was leaving, left to look after the family and do everything. But apart from that, she was an extraordinary person. You know, on Bloody Sunday, I remember being in her house on the day of the Bloody Sunday Mass. The house was full of people of all shades and opinion, of journalists, important politicians, everything. And Pat was there in the middle of it with a huge pot of stew for anyone who needed sustenance, and cups of tea for everybody. Totally unflappable. Mm-hmm. She treated everybody the same. There was no distinction.
That's what I've read this morning, Breed. It didn't matter who you were. If you were the President of the United States or the next door neighbour, you got the same treatment from Pat Hume.
Yeah, Pat, within the SDLP, Pat knew every member of the SDLP personally. She valued everyone she met. She worked in the community in the early days of John's political career in Derry. And it didn't matter who came to Pat's door for help. Pat always helped everyone. She made no difference. You know, if you were an ordinary common 5/8 or whatever, or you were the top politician from the United States, Pat treated you exactly the same. She was an extraordinary person. And in the later stressful years, when John wasn't well and they weren't able to enjoy what they richly deserved, their retirement, Pat looked after him, loved him, cared for him, never complained. If you talk, anytime I talked to Pat, which was very often, it was always about other people. It was never about her. She never complained. Mm-hmm. And when John was vilified in the years of the peace process for talking to gunmen, as people said. And, you know, in those days, it was tough for her and tough for John. But, you know, she went through it all calmly and accepted it and supported him.
And this isn't a case of behind every great man there's a great woman, because she's also attributed with being a great political thinker, an astute political thinker. In fact, John Hume said that about her, that she was his most important and influential political advisor.
Oh, she absolutely was. And John always knew that, he always valued her political opinion and all of that. And he always knew that Pat would tell him the truth. People tend to look up to people like John Hume and they want to tell him what he wants to hear. Pat always told him as it was, and he knew that, and he trusted her. And, you know, the love between them, the understanding between them, the support for John's vision that Pat knew and understood and supported all her days, even when she had doubts at certain times, like the time of the Shankill bombing, she stood by him. And other people, even friends, were doubting if John was doing the right thing. But she knew what he was doing. They were one person in reality. And the partnership was extraordinary.
Just interested to hear you say that there were occasions when she had doubts, because that would only be normal. I'm thinking about her and her young family feeling under threat and going to you on occasion for safety, which you touched on earlier. There must have been times where she thought, I don't want to live this life.
Well, of course, she was a human being after all, and there must have been times when she was distraught. I know there were times when she had to very quickly bundle the family into the car, throw in whatever she could think of, and leave Derry. And, you know, and John, in the meantime, was under threat. He was out in the community. He was away here and there. He was trying to do things. So she had the worry of John, what would happen to him. She had the worry of the family, and then she was trying to hold a job down. I mean, she must have had times when she wondered, but if she did, Pat never ever showed it. She was always calm. She was always had a smile on her face at the worst of times. I can never hear Pat complain, never in all the years, even when she was looking after John. And it was a tough time, because looking after someone with dementia is not easy. Mm-hmm. She never complained, ever. And she had an operation for cancer herself some years ago. And when you talk to her, she said, "Ah, I'm all right, I'm fine." Even a month ago, I visited her. And Pat was not well. And I was saying, "What about your heart, Pat?" And she went through all the various problems she had. And at the end of a long list of really serious problems, she said, "But apart from that, Bridge, I'm fine." That was Pat. You know, that was Pat. You know, she was an extraordinary... People thought that Pat was just an ordinary housewife in the early years. Pat was the most extraordinary, loving, caring person I ever met in all my life. And I missed her deeply.
I'm sure you do.
Her friendship was one of the best things that ever happened to me.
And you know, we can talk, Breed, about the public person in these situations, but really our thoughts are with the people that she left behind, her children, people like yourself, her friends, and they're feeling a deep loss today.
Well, you know, I just think of Trez and Anya and Aidan, who was in Boston and couldn't come to his own father's funeral, and Jono and Mo. And, you know, if I'm feeling the way I'm feeling, how must they be feeling? She was the most loving, caring mother who reared a family in the most horrendously difficult circumstances that one could imagine. And she looked after them. And, you know, I have to say this, Claire, they are, every one of them, a credit to her. And they are all, as they say, chips of the old block.
Well, we think of them at their sad time of grief, and yourself too, Bree. Thank you so much for that lovely tribute to Pat Hume. Let's take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.